Greetings, saints. God bless you and thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you too, Lord, for being in our midst, no matter where we are around the world. We just ask, Lord, that you anoint us and bless us, bring to our remembrance all things that you have said unto us. And Lord, let us have a New Testament survey of faith. What is the faith according to your word, Lord? We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, I'm going to start off with Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, probably through 12. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Obviously, that's very important. It hasn't been very important to an awful lot of churches. I mean, they think their faith is what they believe, when actually there's only the faith of the Scriptures. It's called the faith. And it has to be what God says, or it's not the faith. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him. Abiding in him is, of course, abiding in the word, right? And established in your faith. And if you're abiding in him, you're established in your faith. The problem is people are in and out. We want to be a temple. We want to be a pillar in the temple that is not removed from the temple, in and out, you know. We want to be a pillar in the temple, as the Philadelphia church is, right? Established in your faith, even as ye were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Yes, that's faith too, thanksgiving. You're thanking God for things you don't even see yet. Take heed lest there be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit. That's easy when they get away from the word. The sum of thy words is truth. When they get away from the word, it gets into their philosophy and their vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world has invaded the church. The beast is in the tabernacle, right? And not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Godhead here just means divinity. In him is the fullness of divinity. God. In other words, the fullness of God, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God, the Bible says. So God wants the same for us. Verse 10, and in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Baptism is an act of faith. It's not just a ceremony. If it's an act of faith to you, you know that when you go down, the old man dies, and you know who comes up is Christ, right? You're raised with him through the working of God. So it's all faith. And from the beginning to the end, our baptism represents the death of our old self and the resurrection life of Jesus in us. That's our faith. And we need to hold fast to that. We need to see Jesus in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, right? See it as a done thing. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, I think I'll read through 8. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now, let me say that faith has works. Your work of faith. It's not just your works that you can call faith. It has to be a work of faith, meaning you know God sent you to do this. You're doing what he wants you to do. You're doing what the Scriptures commands, so on and so forth. And you're being obedient. The obedience of faith, it's called. Without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience. Patience in your faith will get you everything. And patience of hope, which is a firm expectation, is what the Greek word here is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, before our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, or your chosen, your choosing, you know, is what he's talking about. Eklektos means chosen. How that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. If there's no power in it, it's not the gospel. And in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, even as you know, assurance is something that faith is. Even as you know what manner of men we showed ourselves toward you for your sake. In other words, they were a good witness of God and of the faith. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. You can certainly go through a lot when you have the joy of the Lord and you know you're in His will. You can go through a lot, right? So that you became an example or an ensample unto all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is gone forth, so that we need not speak anything. Now, if you are evangelizing and you're spreading the gospel, it has to be faith to God, because God has to do the work. You can't do the work. Some people have self-confidence and they go out and they just think they're going to turn the world around. And nothing happens because they haven't exercised any faith towards God. They haven't asked God for souls. They haven't interceded to God for souls. So that we need not speak anything. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:1-10. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left behind at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, and God's minister in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Amen. We need to be encouraged in the faith constantly. You know, our old man tries to drag us back into walking by sight and looking at the old man in the mirror. It's very discouraging because you're not satisfied with your growth in Christ. You're looking at the old man, except that Jesus is in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18, right? Encourage your faith. So that no man be moved by these afflictions. In other words, if you don't have faith, you're going to be moved by afflictions. If you're being moved by afflictions, it's because you're not exercising faith, right? For yourselves know that hereunto we are appointed. Yes, we are appointed. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For verily, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we are to suffer affliction, even as it came to pass, and ye know. And that, yes, they did. They went through much affliction. They went through it joyfully, praising God. Even broke the jail doors by praising God, you know. For this cause I also, when I could not longer forbear, sent that I might know your faith. You know, we need to know that everybody around us is exercising faith, because there's no growth. There's no partaking of the benefits of God's kingdom. There's no of Jesus bearing the curse for us, right? Lest by any means the tempter had tempted you, and he does that all the time. He has to destroy your faith, or he loses every time. And our labor should be in vain. But when Timothy came even now unto us from you and brought us glad tidings of your faith, and love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, longing to see us, even as we also to see you. For this cause, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our distress and affliction through your faith. Yes, people's faith is catching. people around you who have faith, it's an encouragement. It's catching. You know, when you speak faith, you think faith, and people around you will catch it. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? So it works also in the positive. For now we live, if ye stand steadfast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we render again unto God for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. Any place where faith covers all things, that's what's called the faith. It's a survey of faith, the faith. The faith is everything that you're supposed to believe. Not what necessarily you believe, but everything that you're supposed to believe according to the Bible. That's the problem with religion, you see. Okay, I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6. So then, let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, let's don't have our eyes closed to the light, you know. Watch, be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Okay, let's concentrate on this. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. There's nothing the devil can do with that. There's nothing your enemies can do with that. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What protects our mind is the constant, firm expectation of the good that's going to come to us that's involved in salvation, that are the benefits of salvation, right? For God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your precious word. It is so awesome, such a help, such an encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 through 12 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and marveled at in all them that believed, that's the only way you can come into his image is believing, marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. He's looking forward to a day when Jesus was really going to be glorified in his saints. He's going to be manifest in them, an epiphania, a shining forth of the glory of God from his people because they believe the real gospel. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness. Do you have a desire of goodness? I have lots of desires of goodness. Well, he says he's going to fulfill every desire of goodness. He prays for them that God would count us worthy of our calling, our invitation. A person who's being invited, kaleo, invited, calling, can come. They have the ability to come. God's invited them to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. And one of that is holiness and righteousness in Christ himself. So he says, fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith. There we go, back to the work of faith. Because you believe, you do things. That's a work of faith. You don't do things in order to be accepted by God, but because you believe, you act on that faith, and people call that crazy. But it's the kingdom. Every work of faith with power, that the name, nature, character, and authority, onoma, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Okay, the nature, character, and authority of Jesus glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God, not according to our ability or our power. Notice it's with his power and his ability. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How awesome. This is an awesome revelation where Paul was looking down the road towards us at the time of the manifestation of the sons of God. Awesome promise there. See, some people say, that can't be right. I mean, they preach totally against it. I mean, if you threw it up in their face, they would say, well, it doesn't mean that. It means this. I mean, you know, well, it does mean that. It means just what it says. And 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not faith. It is so true, folks. If you're not believing you've received what the Bible says, and you're not obedient to the word of what the Bible says, you don't have faith. Grace comes from faith. Grace to believe and obey. And there are multitudes out there like that. And we pray for me, by the way, to be delivered from unreasonable and evil men. I'll pray for you. In fact, I'm hoping that the Word of God will do just that for you. 1 Timothy 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus our hope, unto Timothy, my true child in the faith. How can you tell someone is a child in the faith? Because they receive of your seed, which comes from God, and they manifest what you manifest, right? My true child in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, which is so common nowadays that the church is in a great falling away, gone into bondage to the beast, basically. Neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God. There are many of them caught up in genealogy. So ridiculous, you know. Since it's not the flesh that's being passed on anyway, you know, it's the spiritual man. And that spiritual man can live, born from above, in any flesh. So it makes no difference who you're physically born of. Even if you're a physical Jew, it makes no difference whatsoever. You must be born again from above. And that's not the flesh. That's the spiritual man. Flesh and blood shall not even inherit the kingdom of God. Rather than a dispensation of God, which is in faith. The dispensation that God has given us is all in faith. If you got faith, you got it all. Right? It's yours. Now you can use that faith to reach out and bring it, make it manifest in the physical realm. So do I now. But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart, and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. What is faith feigned? Well, it's false faith, or it's faith in something that is false, or it's not even faith at all. Some people don't know what faith is. They don't know it's believing you've received what God says you have, simply on the grounds that He said it. And sight is looking at yourself and seeing what you have. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So the faith unfeigned or unfaked. There's a lot of fakers in the church. From which things some having swerved have turned aside unto vain talking. In other words, talking against the very thing the Word of God says. Since our faith has to be based in the Word of God to see any hope whatsoever, any benefit whatsoever, their vain talking is causing them to lose out. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is very large. It's very large. It covers everything. Yeah. Desiring to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say, nor whereof they confidently affirm. Yes, there's very confident people, and some people are impressed with confidence, but some people are impressed with the word. Right. 1 Timothy 1:12 through 14 says, I thank him that enabled me, oh praise God, because that's what the New Testament's all about, is him working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. I thank him that enabled me, even Christ Jesus our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though I was before a blasphemer, blaspheme means to speak against, and of course he was speaking against the Christians for sure, and a persecutor, and injurious. Howbeit, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. See, God can give grace that will give you faith. Did you notice that? The grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So God can give grace which gives faith. And also, if you use that faith, it gives grace. The Bible says both. If you exercise your faith, you get more grace. God had to give you grace to give you faith to begin with, but you have to exercise that faith to get more grace, which is God's unmerited favor in all that we need and all the benefits of the kingdom. Amen? So, obey what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. He said, when you pray, believe you have received, right? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. That's faith. That's why he says, always do this, whenever you ask. He's telling you to exercise faith every time you ask. 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Faith without truth is useless. Truth without faith is useless. Okay, the two go together. And if you're not appointed in faith and truth, you're not appointed. Now, going down to verse 15, talking about the women, you know, but she shall be saved through her childbearing if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. Amen. Glory be to God. So that's a mom's job, right? Is to put that in the babies, you know, on up. Let me say, this next text I'm going to look at, so far in this survey, I've overlooked this, the faith, the term the faith. But in this next text, in verse 1, in verse 6, and verse 12, the word faith is the same word in the Greek, pistis, meaning persuasion, conviction, assurance, belief. So let me share that with you. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 16. But the Spirit saith expressly that in the latter time some shall fall away from the faith. He didn't just say faith. The faith, I believe, is a survey overview of what we're supposed to believe. And in many ways people are falling away from the faith nowadays because they don't study the Word. They do better to go home and study the Word than to sit in a church and let somebody that hasn't studied the Word teach you and put things in your mind that you later need to get out of there, right? The traditions of men. So the faith is an overview of what we are supposed to believe we have received. Yeah. Giving heed to, so some in the latter times, obviously that's these times, shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, because that's what they do. They have to take away your faith by whatever method of deception that they use, or else you're going to destroy them. And verse 2, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. Well, you know, most of what people believe, they believe it because some preacher said it. Branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. In other words, their conscience is seared because they have been trained to disobey the word. You know, our conscience tells us do good and don't do bad. Do right. Do what the word says, you know. But they're being trained to go against their conscience. Forbidding to marry. That's one of those doctrines of demons right there. He calls them doctrines of demons. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meats. Now, I don't care what you say. It's a doctrine of demons. It's all good and to be received with thanksgiving if it's sanctified through the word of God in prayer. That's what the Lord said. It's this he said, making all meats clean. You just got a religious spirit. You just got deceived if you're into that. Which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. Yeah, just thank God for the meat. If you know the truth, you can do that. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be rejected. Boy, there it is. Wow. If it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. Amen. Everything is under the curse. Everything out there is under the curse. That's why you bless your food. You say, well, this is health food. No, you don't even know that. They've proven that certain health foods are killing people. Lots of them are doing that because it's a big money in that, you see. They haven't checked it out. They don't know the long-term effects, and they can't prove it without some kind of a study, you know, of a group of people. So that's why you have to bless your food. It's sanctified through the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith. The faith being the overall blessing that God has given to us and that we should be receiving and confessing. Right? So if you preach what I just preached, you're a good minister of Jesus Christ. If you're preaching that you have to abstain from marrying or abstain from meats or whatever, all the legalistic things they want to bring you back under the law to do, then you're not a good minister of Christ Jesus. You're nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So, exercise is good. I mean, you know, I get exercise. I take walks and I do things like that. It just makes me feel better, you know. It's profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for everything. Having promise of the life which now is and of that which is to come. Now, isn't that the most important? So what's most important to you? Is it the word of God coming into the image of Jesus Christ? Well, that's eternal. The other is not. Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For to this end we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God. And not just your hope, which is a firm expectation of what God is going to do, but also your faith, which is looking back at what God has already done. Hope looks forward, faith looks back. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe? Now, there you go. Them that believe. Them that believe among all men shall be saved. That's what he said. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. So, follow the example of the early disciples and apostles concerning faith. You will receive, Jesus himself said. all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Verse 13, till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, he's speaking to Timothy. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't forget. Okay. And give heed to exhortation and teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Be diligent in these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy progress may be manifest unto all. So, you know, he was given a gift for the church, Timothy was. And he's saying, you use this and be diligent about it, and so you will have progress that everybody will see. That's what he says. Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. In other words, listen to what you say. Obey it yourself, right? Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Oh, glory be to God. I like 1 Timothy 5 and 8, but if any provideth not for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Whoa. And it happens, folks. I've run across Christians like that. They don't want to work, and if a man don't work, he don't eat. They don't want to work. Some of them put their wife to work, and that it's not necessary. They're just lazy. They call what they do a ministry, but they're not really ministering to anybody. Nobody's listening to them. So they're worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith. In other words, this is not what the Word teaches. And have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee the lusts of the world. Flee the materialism. Flee the ego trip that comes with riches and things. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You know what? Somebody that's got faith, they don't have to store up their treasures on earth. They got faith. They know wherever they go, God's going to supply. They know. The people that have to do that, while other people are in need, they're just greedy, a filthy lucre, like God says. Fight the good fight of the faith. You do have to fight to keep that faith that Scriptures teach us, right? The confidence in the things that the Lord says. Lay hold on the life eternal. So you fight the faith so that you can lay hold on the manifestation of eternal life. You say, I have eternal life. You have it by faith. You don't know you have it until you endure to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endure to the end in your faith. Lay hold on life eternal, whereunto thou wast called. We were invited to partake of eternal life by walking the walk of faith, not just, I accept Jesus and sit on a pew. And it's confessed the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. That's how faith works. If you don't confess it, it don't work. I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. He said his kingdom wasn't of this world, right? And yes, he was a king. That thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach. Notice that. Now they say that's works. Keep the commandment without spot, without reproach. In other words, if you don't keep the commandment, you got spots. What is God making? A spotless and blemishless bride? Without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's appearing in his people, and then he's going to appear for his people, which in its own times he will show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. Notice, Jesus only has immortality. You have to be in him, abide in him. If that which abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. You have to abide in that word. You have to believe the word from the beginning, not the word your religion teaches, the one the Bible teaches. Fear God and read the word. Don't put your trust in men, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable. You know, he dwells in light, and a man must dwell in that light by abiding in his word, right? Unapproachable, whom no man has seen nor can see. Now, people have seen the Lord, but it's an assimilation of the Lord. It's not him physically. He reveals himself in dreams and visions and in his regalness and so on and so forth. And you say, well, I saw the Lord in my dream. And yes, that's true, but you didn't see him physically. He's very big. In fact, if you saw the Lord, you wouldn't see anything but the Lord, because he is everywhere. He's called omnipresent, which would mean he's right in front of your eyeball, and he's from horizon to horizon. Can you see the Lord? Okay, but he does reveal himself in different ways and forms to people. So, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. They are very uncertain. Better to trust in the Lord. Give and it'll be given unto you. That's a good promise. You'll always have what you need if you do that. Is not set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works. That they be ready to distribute, and willing to communicate or share, right? Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. And this is, of course, why you store up your treasures in heaven, by meeting the needs of the brethren around you, so that when you draw on the bank of heaven, you can do that anywhere. You don't have to carry it in your pocket. That they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. There it is again. There's conditions. O Timothy, guard that which is committed unto thee, turning away from the profane babblings and oppositions of the knowledge which is falsely so called. They falsely believe that what they have is knowledge, but we know that what we're talking about is the knowledge of the Lord here, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. We don't want to err concerning the faith. We discovered that this is the way to manifest our salvation. That means bring it into this physical realm. Right? 2 Timothy 1 and 3. And I'll read probably through 13. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasingly is my remembrance of thee in my supplications, night and day. Isn't that awesome? Pray for the saints. Longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith. There it is again, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also, unfeigned faith, real faith, believing you've received everything God says and acting on it. Not acting contrary to what you say you believe, that's not real faith. For which cause I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee through the laying on of hands, of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness. Let me say this. If you're following fear of any kind, you're following a demon. You're not following as God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're following fear, you'll never be a son of God. There are many kinds of fear. But fear makes us do things that are contrary to the walk that we're supposed to do when we have faith in God, right? God uses fear to keep us off of the path. He gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. If you don't have fear, you can do this. You can have power, love, and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Notice, he says, suffer hardship with the gospel. Is it okay to suffer to do the will of God? Some people say, well, if you're suffering, you're out of the will of God. No. It's okay to sacrifice. It's okay to suffer. It's okay to fast to do the will of God. Is fasting suffering? Well, of course. Suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Notice, you get saved first, and then you get called. Some people say the calling is to the lost. Oh, no, it's not. It's to the saved, who saved us and called us. We're invited now, since we are saved, to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, oh amazing, thank you, Father, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the good news. Life comes through the good news. Immortality comes through the good news. And believing the good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You have to believe it to have the salvation that is promised there. Whereunto I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, for which cause I suffer also these things. Because he that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yet I'm not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Is God able to guard that which you have received by faith? Of course. Hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith. The sound words of faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold the pattern. In other words, like Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Right? 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a gangrene, or of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Well, we know that the resurrection of Christ is past already, but we were resurrected in him. And since we believe that, we're going to have this resurrection both spiritually and physically. Wow. But they overthrow the faith of some. Can your faith be overthrown? Yes, by deceivers. People who think they know something and they don't. So you must be careful, because the faith is your door to the kingdom benefits. Now I skip on down to 22. But flee youthful lusts, and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace. Seek faith. Some people think, they call it name it, claim it, and they don't want it. They talk bad about it, talk bad about faith, but they don't know what faith is. They think it's believing what they were taught. Okay? Follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So seek these things. Desire them. You have not because you ask not, right? Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. I'll read through 17. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses, meaning houses of worship, and take captive silly women, that's the corporate body there, you know, laden with sins and led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, I run across quite a few people that way. They're really in a rut. They're going around in a circle, worshiping. They don't really want to get into those things that entail the crucified life, so they begin to believe things that make it easy for the flesh to live, right? And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Well, the faction is like that. They totally withstand the truth. They cannot, they're, as it goes on to say, men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. You can quote scriptures till you're blue in the face, and they don't affect them because they've been taken out. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men. And yes, it will, and it has been, as theirs also came to be. But thou didst follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, faith. Follow his faith. Long-suffering, love, patience. Persecutions. Follow in the footsteps of his persecutions. Sufferings. Yes, you do suffer to do the will of God. You haven't missed God if you suffer sometimes. Right? What things befell me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. I can testify to that too. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors, people who take positions that are not theirs, and a God that's not theirs. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse. Oh gosh. Look out there on the horizon, folks. It's happening. Deceiving and being deceived. It's a very dangerous world if you respect men. Get at home in your word and believe the word of God. And let the sum of thy words be truth. In other words, don't make up your mind too quickly about what the truth is until you've received everything the word has to say about it. But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. And that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Now notice, he's talking to Christians, and he's telling them that the writings are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. So you exercise faith in the promises, and your salvation becomes manifested. We're here to bear the fruit of our faith. Not just to believe for something we're never going to get. That's the person that doesn't have faith. Salvation is manifest in you as you walk by faith. And that is in Christ Jesus, as he goes on to say. And Jesus made reconciliation, meaning he gave you his faith. And he took away your unbelief and nailed it on the cross. That's what reconciliation means, an exchange, which is in Christ Jesus. So if you abide in Christ Jesus, having that in you which you heard from the beginning, then you're going to have faith, right? Because it's part of him. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness. Yes, so that's why we must have the scriptures. It's the only seed that brings forth the Savior in us. Man perverts it, man changes it, man gives you a little piece here, a little piece there. That's not going to get it. That the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And of course they deny this. Because, going back to the beginning, they have a form of godliness, but they've denied the power thereof. From such, turn away. And don't support them either, in any kind of way. 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. See, this is how you finish the course. Do you get anything if you don't finish the course? No. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Who gets the crown of righteousness? Those who have kept the faith unto the end. He that believeth unto the end shall be saved. Okay. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Do we really love his appearing? And he's not just talking about his physical appearing. He's appearing in us. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image, from glory to glory. Do you love that appearing? The only way you can love that appearing is to love the Word of God. Because that's the seed that brings forth Jesus. He's the sower. And each seed brings forth after its own kind, the Bible says. So, be careful. Be careful. I'm going to look at Titus chapter 1, 1 through 14. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness. According to the faith of God's elect. They know. Someone asked me, well, what is your ministry? I said, well, go ask God. I tell people that quite often, and he tells them too. And that person came back and said, he told me. I said, okay. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Now, he cannot lie, and he promised it, but none of the promises are made of any effect unless you mix your faith with them, because that's your part of the covenant. It's not God that's not giving you what he said. It's you not accepting it through faith. But in his own seasons, manifested his word in the message wherewith I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child, after a common faith. It is a common faith. We're not supposed to have thousands of different religions out there. It's a common faith. If everybody goes back to the Bible, that's what we'll have. If they believe what men say, they're going to be divided. After a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this cause left I thee at Crete, in Crete, that Thou shouldest set in order the things that were wanting, and appoint elders in every city. By the way, Titus was an apostle. And as I gave thee charge, if any man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruly, for the bishop must be blameless, as God's steward, not self-willed, not soon angry, no brawler, no striker, no greedy of filthy lucre. Boy, that you just called about 90% of Christian preachers there. But given to hospitality, a lover of good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful word, and that would knock out many of the rest, holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. For there are many unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That is, the people that are trying to drag them back under the law. Whose mouths must be stopped, men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, for gain sake. Even if it's just ego, it's still for gain sake, right? One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, idle gluttons. This testimony is true, for which cause reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. Well, amen. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for your precious word, and just spending time in it today has just been a blessing. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We want to walk in the ways of the faith. We want to be partaking of all the benefits of your kingdom, Lord. We love you. We thank you so much for this day. We ask, Lord, that you bring to remembrance these things that you said to us today, so that we may manifest your salvation in this world and be a wonderful witness of you. Lord, fill us all with the power of your Spirit. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen.